Thank you. It's been a great blessing for all of us to participate in your conference. We've enjoyed the fellowship, and we have really benefited from the warm hospitality. We've been in several homes where we've had tremendous meals. The Nystrom family has hosted our huge crowd. The Ukrainian invasion has come, and they've taken super good care of us, and we've enjoyed every part of it. And this evening, we want to give you an idea of what the Lord is doing through our ministry at BIEM, through slides. And then after that, we're going to hear from one of our church planters, Brother Eugene Buiko. And before I introduce him, we'll go ahead right with the slides this evening. And our ministry is called Baptist International Evangelistic Ministries. And we were founded in 1981. And our role is and has become in many ways to be a link between a workforce of dedicated, trained national church planters with American churches who want to see churches planted in the areas where we have been able to plant churches. And we began in 1981. By the way, this is my wife Amy and myself. And we do encourage you to stop by our display table, pick up not only our prayer card, our literature, but both Vitaly Yurchenko and Eugene Buiko, they have their prayer cards with their families on there, and we hope you'll take those items and pray for us. Our ministry began when Russia was a closed country under the firm grip of a scientific atheistic system that had declared war against Christianity. Church doors were locked. Many of God's people were imprisoned, and it was considered very much a closed country. And yet our Savior clearly commands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Therefore, there had to be a way to reach into the Soviet Union with the gospel. Otherwise, our Lord would have not said, go into all the world. And the door that was wide open in those days was the radio. And that was the initial focus of our ministry, was to produce gospel preaching programs in Russian and Ukrainian that were then aired on international shortwave radios. My father, Peter Slobodian, was our radio voice, and God mightily used his preaching in his native languages to reach many people for Christ by radio. Now, my father was part of the first graduating class at Central Seminary. And so you can see him there on the far right. And this goes a way back. But historically, we're excited about that. Later on, back in 1977, I also graduated from Central. But back then, that was me right there. My father receiving congratulations. And we're excited about the wonderful heritage that we share with Fourth Baptist Church. And just to give a little promo, very soon we'll be releasing a book about my father's life entitled Giving God the Glory. That's the cover. And we hope that some of you will be able to get that, and you'll read of how God brought us to the United States and what God did through his life. And we're excited to be able to soon publish that. And as our broadcast began to air, eventually we were on seven different stations that beamed broadcast throughout all 11 time zones of the Soviet Union. Those green dots represent areas from which we began to receive mail. And then the Iron Curtain came down. Gorbachev, followed by a fellow by the name of Yeltsin, pictured here, came along. And overnight, Russia became a free country. And just in an amazing quick amount of time, our field went from almost no opportunity to unlimited opportunity. All of a sudden, you could do anything you wanted for Christ in Russia. You could even preach in public schools. And when there's such a drastic change in your field of ministry, you just naturally pray about what God could lead you to do next. And we did. We prayed, and my wife Amy and I, our first inclination is that we need to go and live in Russia and be a conventional, ordinary missionary because now it's open, and we presented ourselves to our board. And they had an interesting response. They said, well, that could be what the Lord wants you to do, but have you asked the Russian pastors that you've gotten to know? And by that time, we had been into Russia many times, and we had developed some strong friendships and relationships with many godly men there. And when we posed that question to them, they all had the same answer. But one of them put it in such colorful language that we couldn't forget those words. The way he explained it, he said, Brother Sam, We're in the midst of a great harvest. We have a lot of laborers. Our young men are on fire to preach the gospel and reach their people. What we lack are sickles for the harvest. And he went on to explain what they needed was training. They needed to be supported. They need equipping so that they could reach their own people for the Lord. And we saw that as a wonderful opportunity that God had prepared us for. And so we began to change our ministry, change the focus from radio to planting churches by supporting, training, and equipping nationals. And it makes a lot of sense in a place like that where there was an available pool of workers. That's not the case in every field, but there it was. And our strategy then was to start churches by having the Russian church planter, the pastor from the beginning. We do have American missionaries in the mix, but the nationals are the ones that serve as pastors and church planters in the church from the very beginning when it's planted. We began in the Moscow area. That circle represents the city limits. And that's 10 million people. Then in the outside of the city limits, there's another 15 million people. And those crosses represent some of the first churches that we planted through this strategy of working together with nationals. The same thing in Ukraine. We began in the capital city of Kiev, and then we've begun to move westward. And God bless those efforts. And as the years went by, we began to add other areas. We added Romania and Moldova in 1997. Then we added Belarus and Georgia. And more recently, we have begun to reach out into Central Asia and Western Asia. Western Asia is Turkey, Georgia, Azerbaijan, and Armenia. And Central Asia is the five stands. These are all Muslim countries, about 98% Muslim. It's Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, and Turkmenistan. All of these were part of the Soviet Union, so they still speak Russian there. And we've been able now to reach into these countries as well. And we have some partners who work with us. One of them is Rick and Pam Berry. And Brother Berry worked with Georgi Vince for about 15 years. And so he's very fluent in Russian. He's our church planning director. He works alongside of us. And then we have Dave and Ann Abernathy. They oversee the Central Asian part of the ministry. And more recently, we've added Latin America. Andy Counterman is our director for Latin America. Those are some of the church planters that we're working with there. And now we have church planters in both Peru and Ecuador. And it's quite interesting because some of you that know my family's history, that's where my father got saved, began his early ministry in South America, and now it seems like we've come full circle. And so God has tremendously blessed these efforts. And over the years now, we've seen many, many churches established. This is a gathering we had when we celebrated 25 years of ministry. The fellows with the funny gear on, that's the native costume from the country of Turkmenistan. And now we just like to update you. That's kind of a general overview of what we do. And we'd like to update you now on some of the current projects or ministries that are ongoing. One of our most important ministries is training nationals. We saw in the very beginning that that was probably our biggest challenge, is how are we going to train all these nationals. And we've been able to see some schools established. Brother Bruce Tuttle is one of our missionaries, and he has operating a residential school in Ukraine. And men are trained there on a residential basis, and then they're supported in their initial church planting efforts. We have a school that we've established, which is a modular school in the Moscow area. And this we've done in partnership with a group of churches called the Association of Brotherly Churches. Many of them are churches that we planted. And then later on, some other churches of like faith and practice joined them. And perhaps our most, our largest and longest ongoing effort is the seminary in Ukraine, in Kiev, that we have done in partnership with the Brotherhood of Independent Baptist Churches of Ukraine. And that is a group of about 140 churches throughout all eight different regions of Ukraine. And Ukraine, by the way, is the size of Texas, about 50 million people. And those red stars are areas where our students come from. And if you look at that map, you realize that my wife Amy and I could have not in several lifetimes gone to every one of those locations and planted a church. But by supporting, training, and equipping nationals, we've been able to duplicate our efforts. And this is a picture of the student body. You'll see Brother Vitali there. He is, serves as the director of the seminary. And today, this school has also has some students coming from Russia, from Belarus, and from the country of Georgia, and these handful of students from Iran. Quite interesting. There is now a group of Iranians that have found their way into Kiev. Most of them are refugees, but God has done a work there. There's an Iranian church, and now they have about 5 students in our seminary, which we're looking forward to really making some inroads through them to the country of Iran. Now, a lot of our teaching is done by pastors who come from the United States. Their churches are willing to send them overseas to help us train nationals for a week or two. We really hope that we can get you folks to send Pastor Matt over there. That would be exciting to see him being able to go to that country and assist us in training them. And if that were to happen, it works like this. He'd be teaching in Russian or in Ukrainian. There would be in English. Then they'd be translated into Russian. And this student here, an Iranian, is taking notes in Farsi. Well, he says he is. We can't tell for sure. But it's been an exciting venture as we've seen that God has so richly blessed this effort. Now, over the years, we have trained over 300 nationals in this way, and they are now currently serving in 70 different locations in Ukraine, as well as some other foreign countries. A second project that we're involved in all the time from the beginning of our history, even during the radio times, we're involved in not only smuggling Bibles, but also in financing the unregistered church in the way that they were able to get Bibles into the country from abroad. And that continues. Most recently, we printed about 14,000 Bibles in the Uzbek language. We have missionaries in Istanbul and Moscow that work with Uzbek people that come to these places by the thousands. And then also we have the challenge now of reaching into these restricted countries where you simply cannot stand on the corner and hand out Bibles. And yet, to get people saved, they must hear the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so a couple years ago, we launched a project that is called Hear It Now. And this consists of putting the recorded audio New Testament along with a gospel message, testimonies, an introduction to the Bible, and songs in the heart language of these various people groups that we've targeted that are in these restricted countries. Initially, these are the 10 language groups that we targeted. You know what? I think when we went to your PowerPoint software, it doesn't read our particular font. So we need an interpreter. But some of these languages are Turkmen, Kyrgyz, Uyghur, Karakalpakan, and Uzbek. There's 10 languages that we initially targeted, and now we have finished 4 of those, and we've increased our target number to 12 different language groups. So pray for that project. It's quite a challenge, and we've seen God use these very small MP3 players that in some cases are solar powered, and we've been able to get them into the countries by the hundreds, and pray that God would continue to use these to see people saved. Another project that is ongoing is our camping ministry. Many of our new churches are begun as a result of children's work, and our church planters will gather a team that will begin children's clubs. And by the way, I when I was 10 years old, I came to know Christ through the Daily Vacation Bible School program here right at Fourth Baptist Church. It was June 12th, 1964. I remember writing that in my Bible. And the way of reaching many of these places has proven to be very successful by working with children first. And then through that to be able to get into contact with their parents. And many of our workers have been very successful in organizing events for parents and using summer camp as an incentive for children to be faithful in the children's meetings. And this last summer we had over 1,200 young people in camp, over 20 camps. And we saw 331 saved this summer through the camping efforts. And that is something that goes on every summer. A fourth project is containers that we ship overseas. We receive donated items. Much used clothing. We emphasize winter clothing and children's clothing and shoes. And we have supporters and churches from all over donate items. And we have volunteers that go through these donated items, and includes medical supplies and bicycles, and then church planting type materials, chairs, folding chairs, tables, pulpits, anything that a new church could use. And we put these on these containers, and we've shipped to Russia, to Moldova, many times to Ukraine and Georgia now recently. And our church planters use these items to meet the needs in the community. And we have found that God has used these container shipments in many cases to open the door of people's hearts to the gospel. Another project is construction. Years ago, it was 1997, when one of our church planters, Pavel Romanchik, pictured here, approached me. And he is the son of Brother Peter Romanchik that was here at Fourth Baptist Church. He was a famous Russian pastor who was in prison for so many years. Pavel was one of our church planters. And he approached me in 1997 and he said, "Brother Sam, we cannot find places to rent anymore. In the beginning, we could rent a cultural center. We could rent a library. We could rent room in a public school. But now, more and more, we're being denied. And do you think that if we did the work with our own hands, that our brethren in America would be willing to financially help us build some buildings?" And we entered into that with fear and trembling. But we agreed and began to put out the need. And in fact, I was so fearful that I decided to do two buildings at the same time first, because I figured if one of them flopped, we'd still have something to show after all of our efforts. But God blessed both of those building programs. And we were able to construct many church buildings. Some of them were built from the ground up. Others were existing buildings that were purchased and remodeled into church use. And we found if you could get a church that's planted with a national pastor in their own building, that work takes solid root in the soil of that community. And it becomes a lighthouse and a solid work for the glory of God. This is an example of a building project. This is Vitaly's church building. Remember, he shared the testimony about the church they built right across from the liquor factory. And this is an example of one of the church building projects that began as a simple house, and then it was remodeled into a church, and they've actually added on to this since this picture was taken. Now, building churches in Ukraine and Russia is different than building them in the United States. This is the hometown where Brother Zhenya comes from, Eugene. His father was the church planter there, and they built this building. The pastor, the church planter, Mikhail, and one other man from the church handmade all the doors and windows. The pastor's daughter and three orphans they took in hand-carried all the bricks to the bricklayers. And when I say that church building is different over there than here, is this is about the stage in the building project at which they apply for a building permit. And you say, "Well, wait a minute. Well, it's almost done. You know, why don't you get a permit first and then build?" Not in Ukraine. If you suggest that to them, they say, "What? Get a permit first? That would never work. Never, ever. You build first. Then you solve the problem of having an illegal building later." And basically, that's the way it works. Or maybe you've heard the phrase that it's easier to get forgiveness than permission. That comes from this part of the world. Everything's denied. You can't do anything. You just do it and then solve the problems later. And this is an interesting story. This is a church in a town in Romania. And the way the fellow tells a story, a fellow that was in his early 60s, God told him to build a building, a church. He did. He built that auditorium part. Later on, we had it on there. But he himself built the auditorium part. And when he got done, he realized he had a problem. He had the church. There are no people, no pastor. And that was a big problem for him. He kept sharing that problem and telling people he didn't know what to do. And then our ministry is known for supporting church planters. And he got a hold of some of our folks. And very soon, we were able to put a church planter in that location. After a couple of weeks, he calls all excited. He says, there's a big problem. Well, what's the problem? Well, when God told so-and-so to build the church building, since he had from very high orders from the very top authority, he never checked with anybody. I mean, he not only didn't have a building permit, he didn't even own the land. So it took 2 years and several thousand dollars to fix that problem. But once again, those problems can be solved. This is a church building that was built in one of the rare middle class suburbs of Moscow called Nahabino. And our church planter there, Brother Pavel, And he's the one that approached me back in 1997. When he went there, he thought he was going to be reaching middle-class people for the Lord. He had a family, and it was seemed to be a middle-class community. But the first person he reached for Christ is Roman, pictured on the left there. And despite Roman's baby face in this picture, he turned out to be the area's biggest drug dealer. And when Roman got saved, I mean, he really got saved. And he was convicted of all the people he got hooked on drugs. And he began to bring them literally by the dozens to Pavel and to church. Not only drug addicts, but other drug dealers and mafia type people. Many got saved. And they found freedom from drugs through Christ. And they were saved. They were baptized. Roman became the church's youth pastor. Within 2 years, the church was full of recovering drug addicts. They began a drug and alcohol rehab ministry that began in their church. They rented a facility, and then they built this building out in the country. And the program they operate, it has three parts. One is Bible study, the other is counseling, and thirdly is physical labor, where the men they earn their own keep. And God has blessed this ministry of this church that was established. In fact, they've been so successful, they've been on the news, they've been in many public schools. And many men got saved, their lives were reclaimed for Christ. And other churches began to approach Pavel and say, we need this. Can you help us begin a center in our area? And he took those who have come through this program. And if you pick up our most recent newsletter, you'll read about this in that newsletter, that today there are 7 other centers like this that have been established, staffed by 19 of the men who've gone through this program. And in that area, there's over 30 couples now where the fellow has gone through the program, and because they serve in the area local churches, they were able to meet people, and eventually 30 of them married women that they got to know through the service they did in the area local churches, and they are now solid members of area churches in the area. And this has been very exciting to see what the Lord has done. And now we've seen some of our Ukrainian churches do this in Ukraine. And now in the country of Georgia, there's a plan to establish one of these drug and alcohol rehab centers as well. There's Pavel with a couple men that have gone through the program. And the program today is completely run by men who've come through that program. And last year, the European kickboxing champion was saved in the center. He ended up on drugs, and he ended up there, gave his life to the Lord, and he brought another famous athlete in there. And it has been amazing to see what the Lord has done through just one church that was planted, and we're able to help build a building. And believe it or not, since 1997, we've been in over 30 building programs. Right now, we're on our 33rd building program. And we would have never predicted that would be possible. One of the more recent exciting ones is in the country of Georgia. And one of the building programs we've done is in the city of Gori, which is the birthplace of Stalin. That statue of Stalin behind the big monument there, this is the original home that he was raised in. And what a thrill that in the birthplace of Stalin, and see a church planted and help them get a building. And as we began our ministry in Georgia, somebody provided exactly $50,000 specifically to help the church in Gori get in their own building. We shared that with the pastor there and asked him to go around and find a building. And we told him how much money was there. We tried to be very specific that this is not the beginning. This is the one and only, this is all we have. And he and his men came back and showed us this monstrosity. We were horrified. And we thought, oh, no. I mean, you look at it. I mean, the only thing you can say positive is it's big. It's a huge building. But it's got no doors, no windows, and no electric. If you looked inside, I mean, the floors had to be completely repoured. And we told Pastor Basin, we said, you know, why don't you go and look for another building and maybe not spend all $50,000, have some money left over to fix it up. And so they said, yes, we'll look. And they came back after 2 weeks, same story. You know, we looked around. And by the way, this building is so strategically located that we could reach the entire city of Gori right from this spot. And we said, well, that's very good, but, you know, this is all we've got, and you can't even meet in this building. Why don't you look for something else, maybe a little smaller, have money left over? And we went two or three rounds like that, and then about the third time they came back, and they said, you know, there just isn't anything. And you know what? We believe by faith that God wants us here. And we're willing to sacrifice ourselves. We know you won't give us any more money, but we're going to start with one room. Because we really believe that this is so strategically located that we can reach Gori for Christ. And we've learned over the years that, you know what, the Americans don't always have the answer. And we said, all right, if you feel that way about it, we released the funds. They immediately bought the building. The next week, Russia invaded. And they began to bomb the city of Gori. One of the church members was killed in the bombing. The entire city was evacuated. And you were aware of all that going on. I'm sure you heard it on the news how the Russian army invaded Georgia. And they were specifically harsh with Gori because it borders the breakaway areas that Russia wanted to claim. And the fighting ended. A humanitarian organization came to the city of Gori. They were looking for a place to distribute aid. They found that building. They liked it. They found Pastor Baso and they said, you know, we found your building and we need a place to distribute 2,500 meals a day and tons of humanitarian aid. And we have found that your building is the most strategic place in the whole city. It's so where it's located, we could distribute aid to the whole city very easily. If you let us use that building for a temporary amount of time, we want to feed all these people and distribute this aid. Without any cost to you, we'll put in new floors, we'll put in ceiling, we'll put in doors and windows and electric. And with no strings attached. Well, that was a no-brainer. And within 1 month, that organization put in over $100,000 with no strings attached. This was the first meeting in the remodeled building. And in this first meeting, 18 people were saved. And these are some of the people who came forward who received Christ. And when all this happened, I told Pastor Baser, you know, maybe you should send a letter of thanks to President Putin over in Russia, thanking him for invading because now many people have been saved. And he said, Brother Sam, I would do that, but our own president would deport me if I would write a letter like that. But it's amazing to see what God has done in these building programs. And a sixth project is mission trips. Every year we have probably about 100 Americans who come and help in our ministry. Some come on summer mission groups that work in camps. Others work in evangelistic projects. A good number are pastors who come and teach the nationals. And then we have college groups that come to serve as well. And this last summer, we had our first medical missions group. And we didn't know how that was going to go, but God really blessed that. And they did free clinics in the mornings and evangelistic meetings in the evenings. And mission trips have been a real blessing. And it's a great way for local churches to have firsthand experience in the fields that they're supporting. A final project we want to update you on is the ministry that was started on a military base. A few years ago, we had an opportunity to distribute Bibles on one of the two largest military bases of the former Soviet Union, which is about an hour from north of Kyiv in Ukraine. It's the military city of Desna. And we distributed Bibles to about 10,000 soldiers. And after that distribution, the commander of the base said to Brother Eugene here, he said, you never believe it, but in our city, and by the way, it was never on any maps. It's in the middle of the forest, heavily barricaded. And he said, in our military city, and military cities are like that, are divided into two parts. On the one hand, one half you have the barracks where thousands of soldiers live. And the other part you have a town where the officers live with their own families. They have their own school system. They have a hospital. They have stores. They have their own mayor. And the commander said this. He says, in our military city. An hour away from the city, in the middle of the forest, behind barricaded military gates, our young people are getting hooked on drugs and alcohol. Would you be interested in sending somebody to work with our young people? Oh, would we? We got a couple there very quickly. They began the ministry with soccer club, computer club. They had three computers and 55 people signed up for lessons and Bible study groups. And God blessed. Many people were saved. Not only that, but we were able, and this is a miracle, we're able to purchase a large building right on the military base. I don't mean just outside the military base, but right on the grounds of the military base. And we've had numerous church groups come and help with the remodeling. And it was a tall task, but this is what the building looks like today. And on the whole left side is church facilities. We remodeled it for church use. God has blessed that ministry. We've seen many, many people saved. 16 of them that were saved there are serving in full-time ministry. And some of them have been our first Ukrainian missionaries in Muslim lands. And we never understood until recently why we had such a large building. It was bigger than what the church needed. But recently, the Ukrainian army began to shift from draft to volunteer. Up till that happened, Ukrainian soldiers were not given any free time. They were always under the watchful eye of their commanders because there were so many that deserted. And it was quite interesting, but all the evangelistic campaigns we had, all the soccer evangelistic tournaments, all the times we brought choirs and rented out the auditorium there and filled it with hundreds of soldiers, all that was organized with the military brass. And all the soldiers who came to hear the gospel preached, they were marched in under orders, you know. And they were glad to hear it, that it was that or dig ditches, and God blessed those efforts. But now, with the new status, they're given free time. And in that whole area, there's nothing for soldiers to do but to discos and bars. And so we began to take the other half of the building and remodel it for a servicemen center. And that's what we're working on. That's our current project. And we are remodeling the other half of the building to use for a servicemen center. And we have seen this facility begin to take shape, and we're done with phase one, which is several rooms and a meeting room. Phase two is a recreation hall, and many of the items that are going to equip the recreation hall are going to be sent on our next container. And God has also raised up a person to direct that. Right in the middle there, the lower column is Igor Balashov. We're praying for somebody to direct this. This was Vitaly Yurchenko's neighbor that he was able to lead to Christ. He went through our seminary, and after he was saved for about 4 years, he began to really show tremendous gifts of evangelism. He's been ordained by their church as an evangelist, and now he's the director of the Servicemen Center. That amazing to think about it, but here, you know, where he used to be part of the Soviet Union, used to be one of their main military bases, there is a thriving church with a servicemen center reaching people for Christ. And we appreciate all those who have prayed and given and helped this ministry. We have seen many people saved and churches established. And we appreciate what God has blessed with. And our last big conference was our 25th anniversary. We had over 120 representing many of our workers who've come from several countries. In this fall, we're going to be celebrating 30 years of BEAM, and we're organizing a conference in Ukraine to celebrate what the Lord has accomplished in these countries. And so we do need the support and prayers of God's people to continue the work that began in 1981. And our goal is to continue to reach out now into the surrounding countries that border Russia and Ukraine. Brother Eugene Buiko has been a huge blessing to our ministry, and many of the challenges that a ministry like ours faces in the environment that we're in are bureaucratic challenges and massive amounts of bureaucracy. In 1 year, the Soviet Union produced over 800 billion official documents. That came out to 27 daily documents for everyone in their working force. And Brother Eugene has been our director in Ukraine, so he oversees the church planting and the camps, the containers, and God has given him some amazing abilities to get things done in a challenging country like that. He's going to come at this time, and he's going to share a testimony and conclude with a challenge this evening.
Добрый вечер. Мне очень приятно быть у вас в церкви.
Good evening. I'm very happy to be in your church.
Спасибо, что дали нам возможность выступать, говорить и на радио даже.
Thank you for the opportunity we've had to present our work before you and to even be on the radio this morning.
И я хотел бы поблагодарить всех братьев и сестер, которые нас принимают у себя дома, как бы ухаживают за нами, кормят нас.
And I'd like to thank all those who received us in their homes and provided for us.
Я хотел бы рассказать немножко свое свидетельство. Ну, я родился в христианской, в баптистской семье. И в советское время.
I was born in a Christian family during the Soviet times.
Тогда были еще республики.
During that time, the Soviet Union was made up of various republics.
Это было все объединено Советским Союзом.
And all were united under the banner of the Soviet Union.
И был такой лозунг: «Пролетарии всех стран, соединяйтесь».
And there was a slogan that every nation must unite.
И родилась такая история.
And a story comes from those times.
Познакомились грузинский парень и украинская женщина.
A Georgian young man met a Ukrainian young lady.
И они полюбили друг друга и поженились.
And they fell in love and were married.
И на следующее утро он говорит: ну, у нас горячий народ и кавказские такие, ну, обычаи, традиции.
Now the Georgians are from the Caucasian mountains. They're very fiery, hot-blooded people. And the day after their wedding, the groom explains this to his wife.
И говорит: вот такой у нас будет порядок. Если я возвращаюсь домой, ты смотришь, и у меня моя шляпа смотрит вниз, то у меня очень плохое настроение. Значит, ко мне не подходи, не разговоры, кушать на стол, и я иду спать.
So here's the kind of order I'd like to observe in our home. When you're in the doorway and you see me coming home from work, if the brim of my hat is pointing downward, that means I've had a bad day, I'm in a rotten mood, and the best thing you could do is just to put on the food on the table, don't say a word, I'll eat and go to bed.
Говорит, если я возвращаюсь домой, моя шляпа смотрит на бок, то у меня такое 50 на 50 настроение, только чисто дела, домашние, если есть какие-то проблемы, кушать, и я тоже иду спать, отдыхать.
Now, if you see me coming home from work and the brim of my hat is pointing sideways, that means my disposition is 50-50, we can talk about basic matters and enjoy a meal, and eventually I'll go to bed.
Если возвращаюсь домой, моя шляпа на затылке вверх смотрит, расстегнут, я иду домой, я счастливый. То есть твой день, проси что хочешь, покупаем, кушаем, общаемся. Now,
if you see me coming home and the brim of my hat is pointing upward, that means I'm in a great mood and I'm going to ready to have a great time. And that's your day. You can ask whatever you want. I'll probably give it to you. We might even go shopping and we'll have a great time that day.
Говорит: ну, ты поняла, какой у нас порядок?
Now, do you understand this orders?
Ну, да, понял.
She says, yeah, I understand.
Говорит: я тоже хочу, дорогой, сказать что-то.
But I'd also like to say something.
Говорит: если ты возвращаешься домой, и мои руки стоят вот так, то мне все равно, как шляпа.
So if I see you coming home, and you see me in the doorway, and my hands are like this, doesn't matter which way your hat's pointing.
Так, родилась такая история.
So that's a story from the Soviet Union.
Сейчас Бог благословил нашу миссию, и мы проповедуем и в Украине, и в других азиатских республиках, и на Кавказе.
And God has truly blessed our mission, and today we're able to preach not only in Ukraine and Russia, but in the various republics and in the Caucasians and many different places.
Благодаря миссии сейчас к нам приезжают в Украину и грузины, и студенты, но не только они как студенты, но стали нашими друзьями.
And you know, these brethren who've come from these other countries to study with us, they came, and they might have come as students, but they have become our brothers and co-laborers together.
Один из них — это Лаша Сирадзе, он хочет чтобы у них была семинария в Грузии, в Тбилиси, такая как у нас.
And one of them is a fellow from Georgia. His name is Lash, and he has a vision to see a seminary established in the country of Georgia, and his hometown, the capital of Tbilisi.
И я родился в христианской баптистской семье.
I was born and raised in a Christian home, a Baptist home.
Мои бабушки и дедушки были баптистами.
In fact, my grandfather and grandmother were Christians.
Я родился в то время, когда нельзя было посещать воскресную школу.
And I was raised during the time period where you were not allowed, it was illegal to go to a Sunday school.
Наши молодежные общения проходили в лесу.
Our youth meetings were in the woods.
Или в частных домах.
Or in private homes.
И это было похоже на сауну, когда все в одной комнате стояли вот так друг к другу.
And if it was in a home, we were all packed in, and it was like a sauna because there was just standing room only. You were just kind of crammed in there.
Когда сильные морозы, церковь собиралась по квартирам, по домам.
And when it was very cold, we'd have to meet in homes like that.
И потом, когда у нас появился молитвенный дом, мы его построили, ну, ночью начали строить.
And when we were able to build a church building, we built that night.
Всегда на служениях сидели два агента.
And every service we conducted, there were two KGB agents that monitored the service.
И вот если они всегда сидели и конспектировали проповеди.
And they were
хорошими студентами.
And they were good students. They would take notes during the service.
И вот, например, такие вот вещи. Пастор довел публику до слез.
For example, they would report to their authorities that the pastor led the people to tears.
Или, например, он назвал советских людей грешниками.
Or they would report that the pastor called Soviet citizens sinners.
Все, штраф.
And there would be a fine for that.
Если, например, я захотел бы крещение принять, то если бы пастор это сделал, то можно было, то его посадили бы в тюрьму.
And if a pastor would conduct a baptism, many of them who defied the government and conducted baptism were imprisoned for that activity.
Моего папу крестили ночью.
My father was baptized at night.
И после этого он не видел того пастора, который его крестил.
And after his baptism, the pastor who baptized him was never seen again.
Моя мама переписывала, когда была молодой, переписывала Библию вручную.
My mother, when she was a young person, would hand copy the Bible.
Например, если приехал какой-то проповедник, и он остается у кого-то из братьев и сестер на ночь, то молодежь сразу собиралась дома, и по очереди, пока кто-то не заснул, по очереди писали Библию, переписывали, сколько можно до утра, пока он на поезде не уехал.
For example, in those days, Bibles were so rare, that if a visiting preacher came to preach who had a Bible, the family who hosted him for the night would be filled with young people who came to copy all night. They would copy portions of scripture until the very last moment that he had to leave on the train.
Потом я ушел. В 88-м году, началось в 86-м году как раз Чернобыль, и потом перестройка, гласность.
And in 1986, we experienced Chernobyl and then glasnost.
В 88-м году я ушел в советскую армию, я служил в Москве.
And in 1988, I went into the Soviet army. I was drafted into the Soviet army and I served in Moscow.
И в 90-м году я пришел, вернулся с Москвы.
And then I returned home from Moscow to Ukraine in 1990.
И я покаялся, принял крещение.
And I was saved at that time.
И в 94-м году Господь меня призвал на служение в миссию.
And then a few years later, in 1994, I began to serve with BIEM.
Ну, как все молодые люди, я, конечно, сразу услышал голос Божий и сказал, да, я готов.
Yeah, like a lot of young people, when I heard the voice of God calling me, I said, sure, I'm ready.
Я сказал, конечно же, нет.
Зачем
мне эта миссия? Зачем?
No, it wasn't me.
Какие-то старички, может, люди работают, что-то делают. Это не для меня, я молодой, мне там надо с машинами что-то там где-то.
My impression when the Lord began to work in my heart was, I don't want to do that. I want to have fun. And who wants to sit in a church building and occupy themselves with things like that? I'm interested in cars and things like that.
За два года в армии я напланировал себе мою жизнь уже на лет 10-15.
And I'd been in the army for 2 years. That gave me a lot of time to think and make plans.
И приду с армии, я женюсь, потом будет работа, дети, дом надо строить, ну, как все люди.
And so I had plans to get an exciting job and build a house and marry.
Господь сказал, будешь работать в миссии.
But the Lord called me to work to serve Him in the mission.
Ну, я, наверное, сказал, я молодой, зачем мне там быть? Но Господь сказал через брата Сэма, говорит, будешь выполнять все наши здесь поручения.
But through brother Sam, God told me that I needed to follow God's orders and to serve Him.
И мое все так.
And what could I do? I had to work.
Вот, в 94 года Бог начал работать в моем сердце, я много поменял свои мысли.
And God changed my heart and He began to change my outlook.
Я научился проповедовать.
I learned to preach.
Чуть-чуть.
Little bit.
Потом я... И так Господь благословлял, что когда я смотрю эти слайды,
and now when I look at what the Lord has done, I look at the slides we just saw.
Ну, мне даже не верится, что столько работы на Украине было сделано.
I'm amazed to see what God has done in Ukraine over these years.
Так Господь проводил нас.
God truly led us.
Много братьев и сестер из Америки приезжали к нам.
Many brothers and sisters came from the United States and helped us.
И я хотел бы оставить стих один.
And I'd like to leave you with a scripture verse.
1 Коринфянам 3 глава 9 стих.
1 Corinthians 3:9.
Потому что мы соработники у Божьей, а вы Божье ниво, Божье строение.
And so we are workers together, we are God's building together.
И я хотел сказать, поблагодарить всех братьев и сестер американцев.
And I'm thankful to all those, particularly from America, who are involved in this ministry.
И сказать так, как оно есть.
And I'd like to say something that's the truth.
В принципе, мы помогаем вам работать на Украине, а не вы нам помогаете.
And we are helping you do God's work in Ukraine.
И это, ну, ваша работа.
But it's really not our work alone, it's also your work.
Во время того, как в 91 году Советский Союз разрушился,
when the Soviet Union disintegrated,
экономика тоже рухнула, потому что было связано все.
And the economy also crumbled.
И началось строительство церквей, открытие, евангелизация. Это все благодаря американским братьям.
And we saw a tremendous amount of evangelism and church planting and church building through the missions programs of folks in the United States.
Я хочу сказать большое спасибо за то, что вы построили, ну, не только у себя в стране церкви, школы, радио, семинарии, но еще и строите в нашей стране.
And I'm really thankful that American Christians weren't satisfied just to build their own church building and have their own schools and their own radio stations, but they found it in their hearts to invest overseas and to see buildings and churches established beyond their borders.
Мы являемся только инструментами в ваших руках.
We are instruments in your hands.
Я думаю, все мы инструменты в руках у Бога.
But more real is that we're both instruments together in God's hands.
Пусть Бог благословит вас.
May God bless you.
Аминь.
Amen.